This episode of Enough is brought to you by those fine folks over at Squarespace, who give you absolutely everything you need to create an amazing website, blog, or portfolio. I want to tell you a little bit more today about the beautiful themes that Squarespace have with their new version 6. I've been playing around a lot with the themes that they've had. It's that age-old problem with something so beautiful is you have the only tough decision you have is choosing a theme. Because what Squarespace have done, they have done some amazing work with their design team to create a bunch of themes that look stunning. They have mainly focus around blogs and portfolios, but you can sort of adapt any of their themes to fit the type of content that you want, and you do that with their drag and drop layout engine. So you can just drag and drop the types of content you want to appear on a page, and that's all done really seamlessly. But they always follow the fantastic layout guidelines that are set with the themes. Some of their themes are really heavy on images. You can have real good control over the colors and everything. They're absolutely stunning, and I want you to try them out for yourself. All of their themes are responsive, so they look great no matter what device you're using to view them on. I can give you a 2-week free trial, so you can sign up, import your own blog with their fantastic blog importer tool, and try out their new templates. You can go to squarespace.com/70decibels, that's 70DECIBELS, to try out a 2-week free trial, no credit card required. And if you use the offer code 70decibels8, that's 70DECIBELS8, you'll get an additional 10% off during checkout. Thank you so much to Squarespace for their continued support.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
I am very good, Pat. Very good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm old. the little background story is that, like, I'm late to recording today because I laid down for just a little quick nap, little quick shut-eye, and, like, completely overslept. I feel like an idiot. I feel ridiculous, but that's okay.
It is no problem.
So, let's see. It's been a little while since we've done, not like a whole ton of time has passed, but, you know, enough. I think it's, you know, time to do another one of those things where we kind of discuss the things that we are enjoying, liking, loving. Because folks like it when we do these little shows and, yeah, you know, talk about some of the things that are capturing our attention.
I agree.
So, so I know you've got a couple or three, I've got a couple. And so since you've got three, I'm going to let you go first.
So the first of mine is kind of a little shameless plug.
Ooh, okay,
but it's something of my own that I'm enjoying. So all right. I figured I would like to bring it up, and that's Command Space, which is a show that it's probably it's kind of the most recent show on the network, kind of not, like, it was the rebranding of the Bro Show. It's now just myself on my own doing the show. Terry departed from the show not too long after we renamed it. Command Space it's like a tech news talk show. I'm trying to really make it feel like a late night talk show. And I think it's going pretty well so far. We've had some great guests already on the show. I've had an episode with Merlin Mann. We had an episode with Jason Snell, Sean Blanc, and Ben Brooks. I'm recording a special episode later today with Marco Arment, the creator of Instapaper.
Yeah,
which will
wonderful.
Be up. Probably when you're hearing this, I'm releasing these two episodes sort of in very quick succession to each other. I'm really looking forward to that. Marco had some time this week. I got in contact with him to ask if he wanted to be on, and he said he had time this week, so I figured if he's got the time, let's pin him down. And then I've also got an episode with Jim Dalrymple of The Loop later on this week.
Very cool.
And I've been booking in some...
Or should I say, yep.
Yep, exactly. I'm actually going to talk to him a little bit about the yep thing and just how it is to deal with rumors and maybe, like, you know, what ones it is that he chooses to publish and why.
Yeah.
And I've also I've got some really exciting guests coming up in the not-too-distant future, which I don't want to give too much away just now, but I'm booked through to sort of mid-October at the moment, and we've got some really exciting people coming up.
So when you say like a late-night talk show, you mean just the interview portion? So you're not like making, you know, coming out behind a curtain and making a few bad jokes. There's no like musical guest that comes on. We don't have like a co-host who just sits there and laughs at everything that you say.
No, in my brain though, Pat, I have a dream of where I would like the show to go, and to transition it even more towards that, like having a house band that would submit music to me to put in interstitials.
Cool.
And to have like maybe one or two small guests, maybe like a couple of developers, and then one long, like big guest, and making the show closer towards 2 hours, but it being in sort of chunks, so people would listen to it in chunks, or maybe only listen to the sections that they're interested in. But that is sort of a someday down the line, potentially maybe a live recorded show. I don't know. But that's, you know, a crazy idea for where I'd like to see Command Space go, but right now I'm very happy with the way that it's turning out, and it's getting some steam behind it. People are really enjoying it, so I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about it because of everything that I'm doing at the moment, it's the project that I'm enjoying the most. I think mainly because it's all mine. Like, I don't have a co-host, so it's just my vision for how I want a show to be. And you know, with any projects, the newer ones are the ones you're always most excited about.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. Wow. Well, I mean, I really do want to urge people to check it out because it has been really, really great. Every single episode you've done so far has been extremely compelling. I don't think, it would come as a surprise, if I tell people that the first episode of the new incarnation of Call Command Space with Merlin Mann is probably the best interview of Merlin that I have read or listened to. I mean, it's really fantastic. And he even manages to, you know, stay on topic through most of it. So
until we go all crazy about X-Men at the end for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, there are certain subjects that you can't get them on without going way off the rails. That's one of them. So one of the things I have been really liking lately is so I got these jeans. This pair of jeans.
Okay.
I'm lucky that where I live, the neighborhood I live in, there's a number of really great stores. I've spoken about this before in the past, but what's really especially great about at least a couple of these stores is that they're really, really good specialty stores and really good at what they do. Like, I have a really fantastic wine store, for instance, that only has like good wine. Like, even their, you know, $7 bottles of wine are like the best of the $7 bottles of wine that you can buy, right? Like, there's just no such thing as bad wine in the store. And that the staff is all extremely knowledgeable. And if you walk in and you say, okay, I need a wine for this occasion, or I'm looking for something to pair with this sort of meal, or, you know, I generally like these types of wines, they will always steer you to exactly the right thing. Well, I have a store in my neighborhood like that, called Black Blue, that's that way about denim. And they have, like, you know, other clothing too, but their specialty really is denim. And not just any denim, but high-end salvage denim, generally American-made, but not in all cases, but in most cases. In some cases, it is Japanese denim that's been made on American looms or things like that. But they are especially knowledgeable about denim. And their lowest-priced jeans start at around, I think, $175. Like $175. Like, just a ridiculous amount of money.
Right? It's expensive.
But here's the deal. Their jeans really are final choices. This is extremely high-end denim that is meant to be worn. You know, first of all, you're going to buy one pair of these jeans. And that is going to be the pair of jeans that you wear for 6 months before they even have their first wash, like minimum 6 months, okay? Because good denim, that's how good denim works and is built. It's built to last against that kind of wearing and that kind of abuse. Because it is so thick, because it is raw denim, because of its qualities, the denim will begin to mold and shape itself to you and only you. And the reason that you wear it like that is not just because of its durability and because of its stiffness and its toughness, but also because it really does begin to mold itself to your body. And so when you do finally do that first, as they call it, soak, because you don't really wash these in the washing machine, that's the worst thing you could do to them. You actually just fill up a bathtub with cold water, a little bit of denim specific dark specific washing soap, if any at all, and you soak them inside out in the tub for just a few minutes and then let them drip dry. And that retains not only the indigo that's in the dye and things like that and keeps that from running out, but also kind of at that point sets in the shape of the fabric, which now has shaped itself to you. And it kind of sets that shape so that the next time you put them on, there will be nothing else like them. Because they really are molded and designed exactly for you. And what's great is that the guys there will sit down with you and will explain to you the reason why these are so expensive, the reason why it costs so much, the sort of equipment that this stuff is made on. And you'll compare it to your standard pair of $50 Gap jeans, for instance, or, you know, even $90 pair of Levi's, you know, even those, well, you know, those are no longer American made. Those are now mostly made in China, and they're not made with salvaged denim. They're made with a much cheaper denim that is woven with much cheaper threads on much cheaper equipment and are not designed in the same way. And they'll sit down and they'll talk you through the entire process. And by the time they're done, they'll convince you, at the very least, even if you don't buy anything, that everything else you buy is crap. they've done the hard work for you by making sure that they don't carry anything but the best. And so, yeah, I bought a pair, and they're great. I bought a pair of Baldwin, the style that I bought, I believe, is called the Reed. I could be getting that wrong, and we'll make sure to correct myself in the show notes. So check the show notes. Baldwin is definitely the brand, and it's kind of one of the, you know, less expensive of the brands that they carry. And these are, quite frankly, from the moment I put them on, I knew that I'd not had anything that was even close before. Baldwin are made by a company in Kansas City, and they're made in Kansas City on American looms, designed, made, and built in America using the very finest denim available.
Well worth it. So there you go. Baldwin jeans. That's something I've been loving lately.
Cool.
You're up, my friend.
We'll talk about a comic that I enjoy. Called Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Scott Pilgrim has been out for a few years now. They made it into a movie. Horribly underrated movie. I really, really loved it, but unfortunately it didn't see the box office returns. Probably because it's over 2 hours, and which it needs to be to fit all six Scott Pilgrim books into it. It still makes sense. But it didn't do very well, probably because it was 2 hours. A lot of people didn't really know what the actual the story was. You know, not a lot of people would know it, unless you're entrenched in that sort of culture. Scott Pilgrim basically focuses on the main character, Scott Pilgrim, who is a bass player in a band. And it's basically a kind of love story. Meets a girl called Ramona. Ramona has seven evil exes that he must defeat to date Ramona. And the story follows Scott's journey across having to defeat all seven evil exes. The reason I bring this up now is it's a manga style book, in the way that it's a small book, black and white. They have recently released color versions of Scott Pilgrim. The first edition is now in color, and it's stunning. I have it in digital in Comixology, and I also have it in paper, a hardback paper book. The first edition, and I love it. I love the story. I've loved the story for years. I think I know it's easily my favorite comic of all time. It's one of those sorts of things that for me, when I read it, it changed my life, because I loved it that much. You know, when you just love a story so much that your life isn't the same, because before that time you weren't aware of this story. So you can get it. If you're in the US, you can get it on Comixology. It's not available in the UK on Comixology, unfortunately. I was able to get it because of a bug in their system. They didn't set up the region.
So, in other words, for some reason, it's like country locked or something.
Yeah, which is a real shame. You can't buy Scott Pilgrim at all in digital form in the UK, in Comixology anyway. So, if you really want it in digital form, there are ways that you can easily get it. I would suggest that you actually try and buy it in paper form, buy the hardcover color edition. There'll be a link in the show notes to the Amazon page. It's stunning in color and just so much fun. It's hilarious, written so well, drawn really great. It's by a guy called Brian Lee O'Malley. He wrote and inked and drew the whole thing.
Wow.
It's an excellent...
I guess I didn't realize that about it.
Yeah, excellent, excellent book. Love it, love it.
Very cool. Well, one of the things that I thought about the movie was, why didn't they break it up into like a couple of movies, or you know what I mean? There's like six books, and like they tried to, it seemed like to me like they tried to fit every single one into this short space, and it came out a confusing mess actually.
Yeah, I think it would have been even more of a risk to do it in one and then not be able to tell the whole story and then not make enough money for a sequel. I don't think they could have made two or three films out of it and got enough success. But it's such an incredible film. I'll make that a sort of 0.5 pick. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the movie. It's on iTunes. It's not very expensive on iTunes. You should watch that too. Really great movie. I love that too.
Yeah. So speaking of, like, and this is kind of a side one for me, this is not one of my, you know, kind of official ones, but it's funny how you mentioned about certain things that you read or maybe watch and you keep coming back to them because they have that much of an effect or change in your thinking or you know, just there's something about it that you just remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one interesting one for me. This is neither here nor there, but when I was 10 years old when the original Star Wars came out, or I might have been 9 going on 10. I remember that summer, my mom and her best friend went to go see the movie before taking me. And what I remember most about Star Wars is not so much seeing the film. It's this, and that is that it was so far ahead of anything that had come before it that when they tried to describe to me what it was and what it was about, the only thing I could picture in my mind's eye was an animation, was a cartoon.
Right.
And I kept asking him, I said, well, wait, is this like a cartoon or is this like real people? No, this is like real live action stuff. I'm like, but wait, you're talking about like robots and like little mouse droid things driving around and getting in the way of these giant creatures and things like that. It sounds like, how could they do all of that with live like things? It didn't make any sense to me. And so while certainly I went and my mind was blown because I had never seen anything even close to it, what stuck in my head was the fact that for at least 2 weeks I couldn't think of it in any other way as a cartoon, because it was that much of a shift, right? And those sorts of shifts we see very rarely in our lives, and so when we do, they stand out. I could get into a whole, like, this is a whole rat hole because the Apple Samsung case is all about this, right? The problem with the iPhone is that now that we look at it, it seems so obvious.
Mm.
But if you go back and you watch the original keynote video and you really look at what the iPhone was and what else was out and available at that time, it was like no one could have even dreamed of a phone being this advanced. Right? Like there was nothing like it anywhere close. Right? Mm-hmm. And so when it did come out, it was so far ahead of the game that now that thing that we've come to think of as, well, of course, obviously, this is the way that you design a smartphone with a touchscreen interface and icons and no keyboard and da da da. You know, that just seems so, that's so natural. No, they were 2 years ahead of the game when the iPhone came out. And that's the crux of what the patent stuff is all about. But I digress. So the other thing I'm liking is another piece of clothing that don't ask me why. It's just around change of seasons, and so I start thinking about clothes. I feature this on Minimal Mac, and whenever I wear it out, I just get a ton of compliments and people asking me about it and things like that. So I hadn't mentioned it here, but it is a T-shirt. I'm trying to find the name of the company. I'm looking it up here. That's not it. Oh, I'll find it. In any case, can't find the name of the country of the company. I believe it's Engineer Brand. And the shirt just simply has on the front of it, and oh boy, is it topical. It's a T-shirt that just says unfollow on the front of it. It's a black T-shirt, white unfollow, all lowercase. And like I said, every time I wear it out, I get just a ton of people asking me about it. Where'd you get that shirt, man? Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Oh, I gotta get myself one of those. Well, it's engineerbrand.com, all lowercase, all one word, and you can get it there. They've got two t-shirts available, the unfollow one and the other one I find less funny, but there's probably some joke in it somewhere here that I'm too old to understand, and that is, your mom friended me on Facebook. See, I told you.
Well, that's just the worst nightmare for anyone.
It is. Real quick one, highly recommended, and go out and get one. So between that and the jeans, you'll be set for fall. All right, go ahead with another one, Michael.
I will save it. I'm going to save it unless you have something you really want to bring up, because we're coming up to 25 minutes here. So,
Well, I'm sorry I wasted so much of your time with talking about kind of leapfrogging technology.
No wasting at all, my man. No. Never.
All right. Well, we then will chat later, sir.
We will. Thank you very much, and cheers.
Cheers, mate.